यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवराजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Mudhirayet. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Neshtiki. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha. Nanda Gop Kumaraya. Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Text Number 51. Prakritereva Matmanam. Avivichya Buddhah Puman. Tattvena Sparsha Sammudhah. Samsaram Pratipadyate. Prakritereva Matmanam. Avivichya Buddhah Puman. Tattvena Sparsha Sammudhah. Samsaram Pratipadyate. Prakritereva Matmanam. Avivichya Buddhah Puman. Tattvena Sparsha Sammudhah. Samsaram Pratipadyate. Mataji's. Prakritehe, from material nature. Evam. In this way, Atmanam, the Self, Avivichya, failing to distinguish, abuddhah, the unintelligent, puman, person, tatvena, because of thinking material things to be real, sparsha, by material contact, sammudha, completely bewildered, samsaram, the cycle of material existence, pratipadyate, attains. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. An unintelligent man, failing to distinguish himself from material nature, thinks nature to be real. By contact with it, he becomes completely bewildered and enters into the cycle of material existence. Purport. A similar verse is found in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.5. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartham tatkritam chabhipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So this chapter is called Elements of Material Creation, describing about the material world. In the second chapter of the Gita, as soon as Krishna takes up the position of a guru and he starts instructing Arjuna, the first thing that he speaks about is our real identity as the spirit soul. That means we are not the material bodies. We are spiritual beings encaged in the material bodies. And this knowledge is foundational, because without realizing who we are, everything that we do will be a waste of time. For example, if a person is hired in a company and he's not told what is his position, what is his identity, whether he is the HR head or CEO or the peon, then because he doesn't know his identity, whatever he does will simply cause confusion and chaos in his life and others' lives as well. So therefore, this knowledge is foundational, without which there cannot be any spiritual life. When we listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, we find again and again in every lecture Srila Prabhupada mentions this point, that we are not the bodies, we are spirit souls, we are not this body, we are not this body. So when I would listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures or read his books, again and again this point is repeated. And we would think, why is Srila Prabhupada repeating the simple point again and again? But after we spend few years and we interact with people, society, then we realize this is not the simplest point, rather it is the deepest point. It is the most important point to understand that we do not belong to a material world. The soul, we are parts and parcels of the Lord, and we are spirit souls. So naturally, the soul is spirit. The Vedanta Sutra explains, Aham Brahmasmi. Now it doesn't mean, some people misinterpret this line as, I am God, Aham Brahmasmi. Now Brahmasmi means, I am spirit, I am not matter. That is the meaning. So if we are spiritual, then we definitely do not belong to the material world, which is made up of matter. So the spirit soul, how does it come in contact with the matter or the material world? The difference between material and spiritual is that spirit is permanent and matter is temporary. So when spirit gets in contact with matter, an incompatible situation arises for the soul, because this is not the natural setting for the soul. So why does the soul fall into the material whirlpool? Srila Prabhupada explains, as soon as the living entity desires to lead a life independent of Krishna, independent of God, immediately falls into the material world. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhoga vancha kare nikatastha maya tare chapatiya dhare. So we, the living entities, can either be under the jurisdiction of yoga maya, the devi shakti of the Lord, or we will be under the jurisdiction of yoga maya. We cannot be somewhere in between. But so as soon as we desire to leave the shelter of the yoga maya, we fall under the shelter of, or under the jurisdiction of Mahamaya, Durga Devi. That means, and where does Durga Devi live? She is in charge of the material world. When we refuse to cooperate with the laws of the government, naturally we are forced to follow the laws by the lawmaking department or the law enforcing department of the government, that is the police. And the person who refuses to follow the laws of the government is put in the jail. So this material world, if you see, no good words have been used to describe this material world. Sometimes it is referred to as a deep dark well, sometimes an unfathomable ocean, sometimes a karagar, Durga. And in charge of this is Durga Devi. So as soon as the living entity desires to live a life independent of God, immediately comes under the jurisdiction of Durga Devi and completely controlled by the three modes of material nature who work under Durga Devi. And as soon as the living entity falls into the material world, because it has developed an independent desire, it cannot be allowed to roam freely in the spiritual world because it will disturb the harmony, So when the soul falls into the material world, it has to have a different type of body. When we get into any kind of environment, we need to have a different kind of body. In the Gita, second chapter, the body has been described as a garment. So whenever we get into any kind of environment, we need a suitable body. For example, if it is freezing cold and we go to some other country, say Russia, minus 40 sometimes it is, and so in India it may be summer. When we go to Russia, we'll have to wear a different kind of dress depending on the local environment. Similarly, when the soul falls from the material spiritual world to the material world, it has to have a suitable body to survive in that material environment, and therefore that body is made up of matter, because body is nothing but a garment. And as soon as the soul falls, gets the material body, the soul starts misidentifying itself with the body, starts thinking that I am this body and everything in relation to this body is mine. So this is the root cause of all the other miseries that follow, that we misidentify ourselves thinking that I am the body, and then everything else just follows behind. So this is, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the main disease of the modern civilization, that they are thinking that they are these bodies. And from this springs up every other misidentification. I am the body, so I am a male, I am a female, I am an Indian, I am a Hindu, I am a Muslim, I am a Christian, I am a Sikh, I am an Indian, so like that, I am from the US, so then I am inferior, or he is superior, or I am superior, he is inferior. So everything springs from this one mistake, thinking that I am the body. And therefore, Krishna and his representatives, when they come into this world, they send scriptures again and again and again. They emphasize, re-emphasize this point that we do not belong here. This is not our true home, because we are spiritual. And because we are identifying with ourselves with the body, we think we also suffer. Actually, the body goes through birth, old age, disease and death. The soul is Satchit Ananda. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But that same eternal soul is forced to go through, to experience death. The soul never dies, but because it is identifying with the body, so the soul thinks, I am dying. The soul is always knowledgeable, but when it is identifying with the body, there is forgetfulness. The soul is blissful, but because identifying with the body, the soul feels miserable, although the soul has nothing to do with the miseries that the body go through. So therefore, why do we need to come to a spiritual platform? Why do we need to realize that we are not these material bodies, we are spirit souls, for our own benefit? Because we want to be happy. It is the nature of the soul that it is pleasure seeking, always looking for ananda. So to experience that pleasure, the soul definitely must come to a spiritual platform. The soul means all of us. Because once we come to the spiritual platform, once we realize we are not these bodies, there will be so much bliss. And we will be free from all miseries. Once we come, the miseries exist on the material platform. On the spiritual platform, there are no miseries. And that spiritual platform is achieved or attained by engaging in activities which are of spiritual nature. So, by that means, essentially engaging in Krishna's devotional service. Because he is eternal, so his name is eternal, his deity form is eternal, his message is eternal. So when we associate with things like these, gradually we rise to a spiritual platform. When we engage our senses, because the soul tries to enjoy through the senses. But when the same senses, like the eyes, are used in regularly seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, the ears in hearing the name, fame, qualities of the Lord, the tongue in tasting the prasad and chanting the holy names, the sense of touch in associating with devotees, serving the deity, and the sense of smelling, the fragrance of the tulsi or the flowers or the incense offered to the Lord, and many other activities like these, gradually we rise to a spiritual platform where we realize we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls. And then anything that happens to the material body doesn't bother us. It doesn't give us that pain. The example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, first canto. Bhishma Pitama, the greatest warrior, he's lying on the bed of arrows. And we can imagine the kind of excruciating pain he was going through, or he must have been going through. Because the arrows were shot by Arjuna. Of course, it was revealed by Bhishma only how the arrows must be shot. His whole body was filled with arrows. And the arrows had to be shot in a way that there should be no gap between the two arrows. So that's how his body was pierced. So you can imagine there were more arrows in his body than flesh. Because each and every pore was filled with arrows. And he's lying down on that. And he's not leaving his body also, because he had that Ichha Mrityu, Vardhan, benediction. He could leave his body as at will. And he's going through the excruciating pain. But Krishna knew Bhishma's heart. Bhishma is one of the 12 Mahajans, the great personalities who are authorities on the science of God. So Bhishma fought on behalf of the Kauravas because he was a puppet in Krishna's hands. Whenever Krishna acts, does something, or he makes his devotees act in a particular manner, he has a message to convey. They are his puppets. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj once mentioned that the Lord has a will and he has a plan, and he will utilize his most surrendered devotees to execute that plan. So Bhishma was one such surrendered devotee. That's why he did not raise a voice when Draupadi was insulted. He did not say a single word when Pandavas were being threatened every moment. There were conspiracies to kill them. Because he knew Krishna was using him to convey a very strong message to this world that whoever you are, how much ever powerful you are, but if you are on the wrong side, you will have to perish. So, we can just experience the pain that Bhishma might have to go through. He had to shoot at his own favorite grandchildren, the Pandavas. He had to fight against them. He had to shoot arrows at Krishna, and Krishna was bleeding also. So all this pain he tolerated because he knew the Lord had a will which he was executing through him. So he did not retaliate even with a single word. He tolerated all that pain. And over and above that was mental pain. Now he is also tolerating that physical pain only to serve Krishna's mission. He is lying down on the bed of arrows. But now, since the battle was over, Krishna now wanted to reveal the glory of Bhishma Deva to the whole world. And he knew Bhishma's desire. And the desire was that he always wanted his favorite grandchildren, the Pandavas, to sit on the throne of Hastinapur. He wanted to see them as the rulers of the kingdom. So Krishna knew this. He decided to take all the sages, Dhaumya and Devala, Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, he took all of them. And then he told all the Pandavas to dress up as princes in nice clothes and board the chariots, and in that manner, let us go to meet Bhishma Deva. Now, if somebody is dying, we do not dress up like we are going for a party, and but here Krishna is making them dress up like they are going for some happy occasion. Another thing, because after the battle was over, Yudhishthir was lamenting, holding himself responsible for the massacre that took place, and he was unconsolable. Even Krishna tried, but he failed. But there is nothing that Krishna cannot do, but he deliberately failed to console Yudhishthir because he wanted Yudhishthir to be consoled by Bhishma so that in all time to come people could say that oh there was something that, even Krishna could not do but Bhishma did it. So because Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev for his surrender. Then he takes them to Bhishma and Bhishma is very happy looking at the Pandavas and he gives them a lot of instructions. And he's remembering that all that they and their mother had to go through, their wife had to go through. But he mentions that because you all Pandavas were always protected by the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas and Dharma, therefore all of you survived through all these dangers. And then it is explained that when the time came for Bhishma to leave his body, he just immediately withdrew his senses from all the objects of the senses, other objects of the senses, and he completely focused all his sensory perception, everything, fully all his senses on Krishna, who was standing right in front of him. And Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, as soon as he did that, all his pain, the physical pain, the bodily pain, simply disappeared. Because as soon as he focused on Krishna, suddenly he rose to a spiritual platform. And then he forgot what was happening to the body. So this is how things work in Krishna consciousness. The more we try to focus on Krishna and in his devotional service, the more we come to a spiritual platform and the less we feel the pain of the material platform, of the material body or the pains associated with it. And then gradually Bhishma, focusing everything on Krishna, he leaves his body. So just see how special Bhishma's position is, that there were so many warriors, how surrendered he was, because of which Krishna has glorified him forever. There were so many warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, powerful warriors, including Arjuna, Yudhishthir, Bhim, what to speak of the warriors on the other side. But none of them have found a place in our Vaishnava calendar. There is something called Bhishmashtami, the day on which Bhishma left his body. We don't find Arjuna's name, but Bhishma's name is there because he was such a surrendered devotee of the Lord. And therefore we celebrate that tithi. We remember him, the day when Bhishma passed away from this world. That was his surrender. So, Krishna consciousness is the process which frees us from the influence of the three gunas controlled by Durga Devi and then it brings us gradually to a spiritual platform. Same example we find in the Bhagavatam itself towards the end. Parikshit Maharaj, he was hunting in the forest and suddenly he feels thirsty. He goes to the hermitage of Shamik Rishi. And Shamik Rishi is in meditation. He doesn't even know that a guest had come. So he asked for some water, but Shamik Rishi did not respond. So Parikshit, out of anger, picks up a dead snake and puts it around the neck of Shamik Rishi and leaves in frustration. And then he gets cursed. And Parikshit Maharaj, because he is the descendant of the Pandavas, we can also imagine what is Parikshit Maharaj's position? What could have been his previous life that he had such a glorious life? Even before he was born, he had darshan of Krishna, personally protected by Krishna. That is why his name was Vishnu Rat, one who was protected by Krishna. Even before he is born, within the womb of his mother, which is such a dark place, he gets the darshan of Krishna. And he is born to the greatest devotees of Krishna at that time, the Pandavas. So he is playing around with them. He spends his childhood playing with the Pandavas, who were the favorite devotees of Krishna. And he was so powerful that as long as he was present on this planet, Kaliyuga could not enter. He stopped the entire Yuga from entering. So he was so powerful. He was ready to punish Kaliyuga. And at this stage of his life, he gets cursed for no fault of his, no major fault of his. And because he is a great devotee and somebody who is so advanced, it is not very difficult for them to know how to respond to a reversal in life. They easily know what to do. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama payantite, Krishna says in the Gita. Those who are fully devoted, he gives them the understanding by which they can come to him. Like Narad Muni, he is only 5 years old, son of a maid servant, and his mother is only shelter. And one day she gets bitten by a snake and she dies. And a 5 year old child, because he had associated with the Bhakti Vedantis, the devotees, and he had tasted their Mahaprasad because of their association, because of hearing Harikatha from them, he had become very advanced. So when his mother also died untimely, he did not lament because he was on a spiritual platform. Immediately he got the understanding that this is Krishna's arrangement to detach me from the material affairs. So then another direction he was given from within, he started moving towards the Himalayas. And he continued his meditation on Krishna as he was directed by the Bhakti Vedantis, the devotees of the Lord. And naturally, then gradually, that same son of a maid servant has now become Narad Muni, who has disciples like Prahlad, Dhruva, Valmiki, Vedavyas. Just by that association, just by hearing Harikatha from the devotees, he has risen to such a platform. That is the power of hearing about Krishna or associating with his devotees, hearing in association of the devotees. So a 5 year old child, he would have continued to lament, but because he was advanced, immediately he could adjust his consciousness. He could respond. He did not react. Oh, this is the way for me to move on and detach myself from the material affairs. And it's not that he was being insensitive, but this is how Krishna protects his devotees, unnecessary lamentation. Because even if he lamented, he could not get his mother back. So rather he utilized whatever time and energy he had to connect with Krishna. He did not lose time. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj also responded in the best way. He was cursed, he had the potency to counter-curse Shamik Rishi, but he chose not to. He accepted it as the will of the Lord, which it was. And he decided to sit on the banks of Mother Ganga and simply spend the rest of his days, the 7 days, in hearing Harikatha. And this is Parikshit Maharaj's life. Because he is also a great surrendered devotee. As I mentioned, the Lord has a will, the Lord has a plan. He uses his most surrendered devotees to execute that plan. So the Lord had a plan, two plans. Because Parikshit Maharaj had become so dear to him because of his surrender and pure devotional service, he wanted to call him back to the spiritual world. So when somebody becomes very dear to the Lord, two things happen. Either the Lord calls him back before anybody could just even expect. Because if a person has become pure, the soul has become pure, Krishna doesn't want to take any more chances because this material world is a very risky place. So either he will call him back untimely, sooner, and nobody even expects. Or if he allows that pure soul to live in this world, he allows him only if he wants him to preach. There is no other purpose for a devotee to be in this material world, keep living in this material world, other than to preach the message. If the Lord doesn't have that plan, then he would just call that devotee back. So Parikshit Maharaj, now Krishna wanted him to come back, so he made this arrangement where he was cursed. Sometimes devotees suddenly go through some accident or this and that. So we must understand, once a person becomes a devotee, his events in his life, to the degree of his surrender, are orchestrated by Krishna personally. Krishna is making that arrangement. So he just made that arrangement, cursed. So with the curse, he also further glorified Parikshit Maharaj, that look at the devotee, although he has no mistake, he did not retaliate against the curse. He accepted it as the mercy. And this is the greatness of a devotee. And that is what Lord Shiva also told Mother Parvati when she cursed Chitraketu Maharaj for a very simple mistake. He is flying in his aeroplane with the Apsaras. He is the now ruler of Gandharva Lok, Vidyadharas. And he just happened to see Lord Shiva instructing the sages on renunciation. And Mother Parvati is sitting on his lap. So he just laughed. Okay. Internally he was thinking, how great is Lord Shiva that he can instruct while his wife is sitting next to him. But Parvati mistook it to be a taunt. And she immediately cursed him to fall down from his position and become a demon. But Chitraketu Maharaj also had the power to counteract the curse. Because a devotee cannot be cursed by anybody. But he accepted it again as the mercy of the Lord. And that's when Lord Shiva glorified in front of Mother Parvati. Look, this is the greatness of Lord Narayan's devotees. That even though they can counteract any curse, they'd never retaliate against the wrongdoer. So this was also an arrangement of the Lord. Because Chitraketu Maharaj had become so dear, the Lord wanted to speed up his process of coming back to the spiritual and finish off his karma as soon as possible. So one lifetime of a demon, suffer for whatever little karma is left, most of it is destroyed, and then he comes back. Therefore, when Vritrasura and Indra, they fought, Indra apparently, Indra continued to stay in the heavenly planets, he regained what he wanted. And Vritrasura went to the spiritual world. So, apparently Vritrasura lost and Indra won, but actually Vritrasura had won because Indra continued to stay in the material world, controlled by the three modes of material nature, which is called a jail. And Vritrasura got free and he went to the spiritual world. So Parikshit Maharaj also, he sits down, he decides to spend the rest of his time in hearing and chanting, in hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. And what is the result? As he is hearing the Harikatha, there is an instance where he tells Shukadeva Goswami that you please continue speaking the Harikatha, the nectar of Harikatha. Keep putting it in my ears. I am not troubled by any hunger and thirst. Although he had been sitting for days, he had not had any food nor a drop of water. Still, he was not feeling hungry or thirsty. Although previously, he felt thirsty and he got cursed. But here when he is hearing the Harikatha, he is not feeling hungry and thirsty. And even when the snake bird Takshak bit him, he did not feel any pain. Why is he not feeling that same hunger and thirst now? Because of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he has risen to a spiritual platform without even realizing. And therefore he is not feeling any connection with the bodily needs. When a person rises to a spiritual platform, the bodily needs, they cease to exist. A person can go hungry without food and he can be thirsty. He doesn't feel the need to, fulfill the urges of the material body at all. Even if they are done, they happen automatically. He is not bothered by them. He is totally separate from the bodily needs. So even when Takshak bird bit him, before that only he was meditating on Krishna and he had left. It did not cause any pain because the pain is only related to the body. The soul cannot be even touched by any weapon, any snake bite, anything. So if I am not even touched, why should I feel the pain of something? So this only happens when we engage in Krishna's devotional service. We stop this misidentification and then we rise to a spiritual platform. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, when people travel overseas and they are jet lagged, it takes them 2, 3, 4 days sometimes to come back to normal, sometimes more than that. And Srila Prabhupada's life we see, 14 times in 12 years he circumambulated, or you can say traveled all over the world. And nowhere we find that Srila Prabhupada had a jet lag problem and he had to go and rest for a day. Wherever he went, whatever time zone he entered into, he would just follow the local schedule. He would sleep for 2-3 hours, continue to write his books. And he would never feel that pain. So one would wonder, how did Srila Prabhupada manage to do that? Only because if he was on a spiritual platform, because of his absorption in Krishna. In the Shad Goswami Astakam, it is explained very nicely, this point, by Srinivas Acharya, that the six Goswamis had conquered their eating and sleeping because of their absorption in Krishna. So the reason is mentioned, how they could conquer over eating and sleeping because of their absorption in Krishna, he has clearly mentioned. Because of absorption in Krishna, they were totally unaware of the bodily needs. Identification, misidentification. And similarly, another point is mentioned in the Gita, Krishna addresses Arjuna as Gudakesha. Gudakka means sleep or ignorance also. So Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes, how did Arjuna conquer sleep? Why was he addressed as Gudakesha? How did he manage to conquer sleep? Because of his absorption in Krishna. Or Prabhupada actually writes, because of his friendship with Krishna, he was able to conquer sleep and ignorance. So only when we engage in devotional service of Krishna, we gradually start identifying ourselves as a spirit soul. We come to a spiritual platform where we realize we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls, spiritual beings. And since we are spiritual beings, so our natural environment is spiritual. And to the degree we remain connected to our natural environment, we'll remain happy as much as the fish is happy when it is swimming in its natural environment called water. When the fish is away from water, whatever you give it, it's not happy. But when the fish is back in its natural environment, it is happy. So similarly, therefore, we must engage in Krishna's devotional service. That is why Srila Prabhupada, his representatives, the gurus come into our life and they engage us in spiritual activities. Otherwise, we are only engaged in mundane activities, material activities, which are associated with the modes of nature, and they further entangle us, implicate us in the laws of karma, the cycle of birth and death. And the cycle of action and reaction continues. So therefore, a guru comes to our life and he starts engaging us in devotional activities related to Krishna, which gradually start disentangling us from this misidentification, where we start realizing, oh, I am not a body, I am a spiritual being. So my spiritual environment is my natural environment. Therefore, for my own sake, because I want to be happy and satisfied, I must remain connected here. And it is a life of connection, not rejection. We can continue doing our worldly duties, but along with that, we just need to connect with this dimension, because it is a life of connection. As we are working in this world, we also at the same time continue to remember Krishna. That is the message of the Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna, fight and remember me. For us, it means, do your duties and remember me. And that is called Bhakti Yoga. While doing our duties, we keep remembering him. And then that work also becomes worship. But in order to be able to remember him when we are performing our worldly duties, we must sit and hear. We must chant his name on a regular basis. We must study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So that when we are engaged in our worldly activities, which we have to, we can always be remembering Krishna. And if we can do that, then we are in the spiritual world, we are on the spiritual platform. Like in the Damodar Leela, you see, even in the spiritual world, people are not just sitting, Krishna is sitting, Radharani is sitting, and people are just sitting around them and just looking at them and doing nothing. Even in the spiritual world, if you read scriptures given by the Goswamis, there is constant activity. The spiritual world, the picture is given, there are palaces, there are fields, people working in their field, herding cows, and there are buffaloes also in Krishna Loka, and everybody is busy in their activities, but as they are busy, they are constantly singing about Krishna or remembering Krishna. In the Damodar Leela, we see Yashoda Mai is churning butter. She's doing her duty as a lady, as a household lady. But at the same time, she is singing Krishna's glories or Krishna's activities. So this is what is spiritual life. When we are engaged in our duties, we keep remembering Krishna, we chant his name, and our minds are focused on him. Then that kind of work in this world will not bind us. Rather, it will free us from the bondage. Otherwise, anything that we do minus Krishna, it is only going to bind us. But when anything is done plus Krishna, then even if there are mistakes apparently, they'll be forgiven, they'll be taken care. So therefore, for our own benefit, we engage in Krishna's devotional service, and especially in this Kartik month, we do extra because the benefits are more. Little investment and maximum returns. So in this month, we try to maximize our spiritual commitments, do extra, engage more people. So because by engaging more people in Krishna's service, by offering a lamp or requesting them to participate in functions, satsangs, we are creating their good fortunes, and gradually they will rise to the platform where they start understanding that they are not these bodies, they are spirit souls, where they stop misidentifying themselves and they realize their true identities. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.